Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I am your host, Kelly Cop. I'm a published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Today, I'm talking with Kasim Mohammed, also known as Q. He is a professional New York City photographer, a very talented photographer at that, a father, a family man, and one of New York City's best MTA bus drivers. And he is also a great friend of mine. So how are you today, Kasim? And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. Truly appreciate you, my friend. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing pretty good right now, you know. I'm feeling the vibe, and I'm happy to be here.
Ah, thank you, buddy. Good to see you, too. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's get into it, my friend.
All right.
So how long have you lived in New York City, and were you born here?
Basically my whole life.
So really?
I'm not sure the minutes and the seconds that's there, but, you know, I was born in 1990, so I'll be 34 this year.
And you were born in New York City,
yeah.
Right? Awesome. And what, do you live in Manhattan or Queens?
Queens.
Or the Bronx? Queens?
Yeah.
Nice.
They don't make that much noise, but, you know, I try to put it on the map.
What'd you say?
I said Queens don't get that much noise, but I try to put it on the map.
You're right. You're right. We don't talk about Queens that much.
Yeah, you do.
I know. The part of Queens that I talk about, though, would be Long Island City because
it's right next to Manhattan. Yeah.
The views are some of the best.
You like more towards Jamaica, you know.
Jamaica's way on the other side, though, isn't it?
Yeah. That's it. That's the last stop of the E-train.
On the E-train?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. I was just actually out there. At where the World's Fair was, Flushing Corona Meadows.
Yes, that'll be the 7 train, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To see the cherry blossoms, and that's a track.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From where I live in Washington Heights area, that's quite the track.
Well, what you could have did, the Long Island Railroad's going to cost money, but, you know, that does help things shorten the distance.
So you are a MTA New York City bus driver, and...
Correct.
I've really wanted someone who drives a New York City bus to be on the podcast. And I'm so happy because Kasim, I didn't even know you did this until a conversation we had, you know, a few months ago, correct? And
right.
You know, I remember when we were talking on that rock in Central Park. You
know, right. That was the first time.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
talking about
Elaine. I think that's where we met, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So you're an MTA bus driver, and I have a lot of questions. Because I'm so fascinated to talk to a New Yorker who drives the New York City bus and what you have done, how you became one, so many stories. So how did you become an MTA bus driver? How does that work?
Well, the funny thing is it starts from when I was a kid. When I was a kid, my father, he's a bus driver, right? So he's been a bus driver before I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was so fascinated with it. So, you know, I used to ride the bus with him. Back in the days, I used to tear the transfers off and give it to customers, you know. And I even rolled the back of the bus, you know, where the wheelchairs go up and down on the RTSs.
Yep.
I did that. And I just, you know, looked up to my father a lot. So when I got older, I took the test and I became a bus driver. And, you know, the process for that is, it took about 4 years. Though. I took the test and took 4 years. So it was a pretty long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 4 years to do. So what was the process?
No. It was 4 years for them to call me.
Oh, 4 years to call them from applying.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of... Oh, okay, cool.
And then...
When I cool, it took forever. Yeah.
So, I mean, I basically just... I was procrastinating with it. I just took it. And then next thing you know, I went along with my life.
Wow.
And then next thing you know, they called me. And they called me in the nick of time when I actually needed it. So I had got my CDL beforehand.
What is that?
That is a commercial driver license.
Yep.
You need that with a passenger endorsement to be able to drive around people on New York City Transit.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, you can't just have a regular license.
Yeah.
So, because you're carrying, I think it's when you're carrying about 8 or 10 more people, you need that. So awesome. That was that. And then I had my license and everything. So when I went to go take the test, I already had the DMV part. So I just had to pass the MTA part.
Right.
Which they give you about training, you know, like things like a week training you get. And then after that, you got to take a test.
What does the training entail? Like,
it's, you know, basically basic things that bus drive, you know, how to reverse, you know, how to pull in the bus stop.
Right.
All the stuff you have to do is safe. Because that's what MTA is about, safety.
Right.
And once you get the hang of all of that, well, you don't have that much time. They give you that 1 week, and then you get the next week is test. And if you don't pass, you don't pass, you know?
That's fascinating, because I don't even want to drive a car in New York City, and it's so much smaller. I don't even want to parallel park, any of that. And here you are driving this huge bus, making these maneuvers.
When I first started, I was thinking the same thing. Like when I when I first got in the bus, I was a little shaky, you know?
Right. Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, so I was driving on eggshells, but then as time progressed, you know, you get used to it. You get used to the width and the height and everything. So I know my bus, so I know what it can do.
Wow.
So a lot of people ask me, like, how you make that turn? I used to say the same thing. That turn looked really hard.
And now it's just...
It's finesse. They teach you, though. It's about pivoting, you know? That
right.
You got to make sure that the rear wheel does clear when you're turning so that you don't clip anything.
Right.
So you know how it's like... So the funny thing is, when I go in a car, I make turns wider because I'm used to the bus. Because I don't want to start making it short, then I go back in the bus and make it short again.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So have you, since we're talking about making turns, and you see, you know, go eat, you know, we talked to Rick from What Is New York last week.
Oh.
And, you know, I see a lot of videos on What Is New York with buses, or not MTA buses, but, you know, like Greyhounds and stuff, clipping cars and things like that.
That is true.
Have you ever done that?
While turning, no. Well, actually, I have never actually clipped a car. Because...
Or anything.
More likely they hit me, to be honest. There's sometimes you could be driving and you know, a car would not know the length of the bus.
Right.
So they think it's shorter than it is, and they might come... Like, I had one of that before when somebody, you know, tapped me in the side.
Right.
But sometimes dealing with the public while they're driving, that's like... part of the worst of it for me. It's not even the passengers for me. It's the driving.
I bet.
Yeah, because they'll cut you off, do all
that. What
about
like scooters and motorcycles and all that,
that's
too?
That's the worst.
Oh, my gosh. Because
these scooters, they drive like they don't have no sense.
Right. I see them just in general doing that.
I could, like, just the other day, matter of fact, I was driving a bus, and he's on the left side, and I'm moving, and next thing, you know, he just come right in front of me, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, he just, he think it's a game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's not. If you get hit, and it's like it's over. It's no restart.
That to me is insane. So, do you have a regular schedule?
Right now, well, it depends, because we kind of pick what we want to do.
Yeah. And do you drive the same route or different routes?
As of right now, I drive two of them in one day.
And what are the routes?
That right now would be the Q85 and the Q77. One goes to Green Acres Mall, which is in Queens.
Yeah.
Border Long Island. And the other one is, that goes to Springfield Garden.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's not going to really be easy to explain. But it's near the mall. It's near the mall.
Yeah, it's way out
within,
there. Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Queens, it's going to be kind of hard for me to explain it to you. I don't see any landmarks other than a school in there.
So the bus lines are called, for instance, in Manhattan, they're like the M. So like the M60, so to speak.
Right.
So then in Queens, it starts with the Q,
that is correct,
whatever, the first letter on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like the Q25.
Right.
And then we have what this is, the Bronx, the BX.
Yes, that's correct.
And then the Brooklyn is would it be
just
BK?
A B. No, just a B.
Just a B.
Just a B.
Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, it's interesting.
And then Staten Island's the S.
Oh, I, yeah.
Exactly. I would forgot even, about that, bro. Yeah.
Sorry, Staten Island.
I'd be feeling like that.
Yeah. Too. So, have you ever worked a route just by chance that you don't know that you had to drive? Does that ever happen?
Well, I started in Manhattan, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was out there first, and then I transferred to Queens. So when I transferred to Queens, that was a problem because, well, they give you time to learn the lines. But sometimes you might not get a chance to learn all the lines. Or if you do, you might forget. So, you know, sometimes with the new people, when you do come on, you could make a wrong turn.
Yeah.
You could forget.
Yeah, definitely. I would.
But the thing is, you don't want to have an accident anywhere, you know.
Right. Go ahead. I'm
when
sorry.
You make a wrong turn, you're basically off route. But the best thing to do, so when in doubt, you call your supervisor and they'll help you out. They'll find a way to help get your bus out of the situation if needed.
Interesting.
It's never good to take things upon yourself and do it because, right. like I said, if you get in an accident, MT is all about safety.
And it's 24/7.
It is 24/7. Not every single line, though.
Right.
It's usually, I'll say more of the lines that need the people.
That's fascinating.
And to get back to your question about the queue, about all the borough buses, there are some buses like the express buses that have the QM on it because they go from Queens to Manhattan. So it has both of it on it.
Oh, I did not know that. So if it's, say, for instance, it's leaving kind of my area up in Harlem and it's going over the bridge right there to Queens, right? That would say, what would it say?
I believe it'll be QM, but it might be MQ.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that.
That I don't know.
You just taught me something. I had no idea.
Start from Manhattan and go to Queens. But usually, you know, there's buses that come to that's from Queens that go to Manhattan because, you know, they got to go to the city for work.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's better just to take one thing instead of doing so many transfers. But the fare is, I believe, it's like $6.75 instead of $2.90 or so.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad when you could sit down, don't worry about nothing. You
right.
Know, and yeah.
I found myself just recently taking the bus more because I can get work done on the bus, you know, driving down, you know, as a passenger, Manhattan, down to Central Park or something. I found myself, instead of taking the subway, because there's no service and it's fast. Now I found myself just recently taking the bus going downtown because I can do some stuff on my social media and get it all taken care of. So finally, I was smart about doing, you know, it's because there's so much time on the subway. Are things that you can't do without service down underground.
That is true.
So it's tough.
And I could double down on that because that's the reason, that's part of the reason I don't have a car because it's kind of expensive and then, you know, you got to find parking. And also I drive for a living.
Right.
So when I get off of work, I kind of really don't want to be driving. I could be tired. So I like to get chauffeured and go home. So
yeah.
That's why I'll take the bus and I'll take the train.
I mean, I don't have a car either though. You know?
Exactly. You don't need one in New York City.
You don't. Well, I mean, you know, the MTAs or the bus in general or the subway, you know, they're the same price. You know, because you use your Metro card.
And you get a transfer.
Yeah, transfers for free. You know, so it's $2.90 per ride to go anywhere. You can go the whole length of the subway from Manhattan to Coney Island.
Well, you go
or the bus.
You can
take the bus.
Yeah, you could. Well, the thing about the subway, you could ride the subway all day with $2.90.
Yeah.
But you can't
with the bus?
No.
Why?
Because once you get off the bus, and you got one transfer left.
Oh, okay.
But when you're on a train, you could transfer from train to train to train to train if you want to just ride around. But I'm not sure if people want to really do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
but still, it's awesome because you can just, with the bus in general, it's still pretty inexpensive, you know?
It is.
So have you had any situations where you felt uncomfortable by someone on the bus?
Yes, I actually have because, you know, the buses that are limited.
Yes.
And
what does that mean, so they know?
Oh, so the limited bus. So we have limited local buses. And limited buses are basically buses during rush hour to help people get to their destination quicker.
Right.
So they skip certain stops. Probably, there's a couple of blocks or so, and it stops again. Basically, it stops on a major street.
Right.
So there was one time when I was on a limited bus, and at the first stop, I kind of seen, you know, sometimes you get a vibe of when you see people get on a bus and, you know, they're not going to pay anything like that. So it was one kid that did get on a bus and I seen him. I went down the line and he had one to get off on a stop that wasn't limited. I was local and I was driving a bus and he kind of got erratic because he wanted to get off the bus. So he started asking where I live at, where I stay at. Ooh, I'm so lucky. He said, I'm protected by the law, the felony, you know. I'm gonna get 7 years or so if I do something. So you're lucky staying behind that. And he's trying to tell me, he's trying to antagonize.
Right.
He's trying to get me to, you know, react.
Yeah.
But I had to keep my cool. I had to be professional because that's what I am. I'm a professional bus driver.
Right.
Matter of fact, they say you're not a bus driver. You're an operator.
Yep.
There's a difference between it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that aspect, I kind of I just left the situation alone. He kept talking and talking, but I didn't feed into it because I don't want it to escalate.
Right.
So that was one of them. Then it was another one within the same type of situation that they wanted to get off. And reason being, we don't want to let you off in any area and you fall down and get hurt. So we want to take you to where it's safe. So there's another guy. He put his bag on our dashboard and he was ready to talk the same thing. But he said the same thing about the felony, 7 years that he did not want to do. And he said, you're lucky you're protected by that badge and all that stuff. Well, you know, same way they talk to the cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't really try to feed into it.
Right.
I'm from the area too. I grew up over there.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't want all that negativity.
So for the most part, then, it's just a normal day. So you don't really have any issues or anything too much.
Not really. But like, there's another time. It's a different story now. I was driving a bus and nobody rang the bell. And I serviced the bus stop. Now, I'm getting ready to leave. And the guy, well, I'm leaving. Matter of fact, let me say that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes to the back door and he say back door.
Right.
But now the thing is, I already took off. I started pulling off. Even though I only pulled off a little bit.
Right.
I gave the bus gas. And there was a van driver. So you know how crazy van drivers are.
Yep.
There, he was right up on me, tailgating me. So if I stop, that could be a potential accident.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I have that accident, everybody's going to get off the bus. They're going to be fine. And I'm going to be sitting there.
Right.
So the best thing to do in that instance is to take them to the next stop where it's safe. So I took him to the next stop and he comes all the way to the front and he says to me, I should slap the hell out of you, right? He said something different, but you know,
yeah,
that's what he said. And I'm just like, I'm just looking at him like, I didn't want to, you know, instigate it or something like that, but I just let him go. But it's stuff like that we deal with every day.
Yeah. But you're pretty cool, calm, and collected as a person in general. So the person that I know, you're always been really cool, calm, and collected. So
yeah, but you never know. The person could take it out on anybody.
Yeah, I mean you yeah.
Because there's even times when I'm driving a bus, I'm on time, and another bus in front of me did not come or so, and they'll be like, "Oh, I've been waiting here for 30 minutes," and like you're late. And I'm like, I'm not late. I'm on time. And the next thing you know, another thing is when a bus is on early, they're not supposed to be early. So when you see buses sitting and waiting. They're waiting for their time before they can move again.
The subway does that.
So when she said that you're late, I looked at my time. I'm like, oh, I think I'm a minute too early. You got to sit here now. And then she gets even upset. I didn't.
What are you
going to
do?
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing my job. I don't want to get in trouble.
Are there things, Q, that people do on an everyday, you know, that people are going to react or do a certain thing or just, you know, just little things? You know, like I worked in a restaurant years ago. And every time I'd take a plate or something, when the plate was empty, they'd always say, oh, I hated it. You know, when it was completely empty, you know, like you just be like, okay, I've heard this a million times, you know,
yeah.
Is there anything like on the bus, do people do the same things and you're just like, okay, or whatever? Or
when they get on the bus, you know, well, nowadays you see a lot of people just walk on the bus and don't pay like that.
So oh, right.
It kind of messes it up with the other people because mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I don't know the statistics behind it, but if they don't pay, sometimes they do raise their fare, but I'm not sure if that's the main reason. But it sucks for other people because I see people just walking on the bus and then I see other people paying. It's like, I feel bad for them, but it's not my company or my money, so I can't say nothing. I can just watch. And sometimes the people will get on the bus and they'll just give you the same stories over and over. You hear it from everybody. I'm like, I just get tired of it sometimes, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting you brought that up about, because, you know, when I get on the subway or the bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, I see people walk on sometimes and not pay. And, you know, I don't say anything or I'm just like.
It's not good to say nothing.
Yeah.
Because here in New York, sometimes people, they react over that. That's just something to, something for them to fuel on.
Well, do you have any regular customers that you like or recognize or say hi to and things
like
that?
Yeah, like it's, what it is for my route that I have. Mm-hmm. If I see you about a good 5 to 10 times, we actually know each other.
Right.
Though. And sometimes when it's like that and we have like a mutual understanding, you don't even really have to say nothing. You just be respectful.
Right.
We kind of give them a little courtesy or something like that. So I have a route that I do. And sometimes when I drive and I don't see the person, I wait a little bit. I'm like, where's my buddy?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So then I do that. And sometimes they're running. I wait for them.
Yeah.
Because I know it's them.
Right.
But we don't have to wait for nobody because if you're not in the bus stop, you're not in the bus stop.
Well, I always, when I get on the bus, I always say, hey, how you doing?
Right. See,
I think
me,
it's important.
I respond.
Yeah. A lot of people don't.
I mean, I understand why. Some people don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
But I remember they told us to say, we should say good morning to everybody, but I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Because if you don't say good morning to me, I'm going to feel some type of way.
Yeah.
So on the other foot, if you say it, I'm going to say it back to you so you don't feel some type of way.
I always say good morning or how you doing, buddy? Or,
yeah,
or
some people say good morning, they say hi, and I say how you doing.
They generally respond. Yeah. Even when I get off the bus, I like yell, hey, thanks.
Yeah, sometimes like that. Hey, thanks. Yeah, you're welcome.
I think it's important, you know?
I feel it is. That little connection, it can make somebody's day.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So have you, You know, they gas that thing up, obviously, probably before you get on the bus, right? They make sure it's full of gas. Have you ever ran out of gas?
No. they wouldn't let that bus go out to run out of gas.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's human error, you know, maybe.
Yeah, it is. But for the most part, we have like a sheet that we signed, so, you know, we can check that and make sure that's not the problem. But buses do break down.
Has your bus ever broken down?
It has. And I had to put everybody on the other bus. And I have to wait for the mechanic and see what's wrong with it. Sometimes you can they can fix it there, but there's a couple of times my bus got towed.
Wow.
Yes.
So what do? Just wait for the bus?
Well, I have to take the transportation back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get in the bus while it's towed. But other than that, I usually do assist the bus going back.
Nice. Good to know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
This is producer Jay stepping in. And I've lived here my whole life, and I really want to know how the bus schedule works, because I've checked the little like thing on the pole.
Yeah.
As you know, like each bus stop has a little pole and it has the route map and the schedule. And I've checked it on Google Maps and I've checked it online. And it's often that they give different times for when the bus is. And especially at night, it's often that the bus doesn't come when it's scheduled to come at night. And that makes sense because I come less frequently. But there's been times where I've waited for the bus for like 20 minutes and it's...
Let's take a quick break. Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Well, see, in situations like that, it depends how late you're talking now, because sometimes there's one bus out there. And if the bus is late, it's going to come back late. Now, if we have a problem on board with a passenger doing something, or even if we have a wheelchair, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that they're going to do it. It's a bad thing, but it takes process. It's not as fast as someone getting on the bus and closing the door.
Yeah.
So things like that will slow the bus down. And sometimes at the other end, when we get down there, we don't have that much time. Because usually when we get down, we got a little minutes for ourselves or whatnot. But sometimes at nighttime, when you got to keep everything running, it's usually shorter. So it's like recovery time. And if we don't have enough recovery time, we just got to turn right back around and get you. It's going to be slow. I mean, we're going to be a bit late.
Okay.
Well, then how does it work with a wheelchair or a bicycle?
Well, a bicycle is not allowed on a bus. A bicycle is only allowed if the bus is a shuttle.
Oh, so what does that mean if it's a shuttle?
You know how the bus, you know how sometimes the trains is down?
Yeah.
And a bus comes in place?
Yeah. Oh, okay. In place of this. So when the subway line is down, like for instance, 168, and then they have the bus, which is called a shuttle.
Right.
I get it. Yeah.
So everything that happens on the train can happen on the bus.
So then they'll put, then they can put a bicycle on the shuttle, but not a regular bus.
Right.
Oh, I did not know that. But how does the wheelchair work?
So the wheelchair is there like a priority for the bus. And when a wheelchair comes, we can't leave it. So this is what people need to know. The process of a wheelchair getting on the bus and everybody's in the front of the bus when there's a lot of space in the back.
Right.
They can just either step outside or step back. And they slow the process down, and that bus cannot move without that wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
They need to understand that, because the wheelchair, like I said, is priority. And if I heard it has happened before, that if they don't want to move or whatnot, then the bus can't move. You got to call a supervisor. And hypothetically, everybody couldn't get off that bus and that wheelchair would go by itself.
Oh, really?
It's true.
Wow. Well, you know, it's sad because, well, what's good, first of all, is the buses are wheelchair accessible.
Right.
But the subways, sadly, the stations, I think it's only like 30% of the subway stations are elevator accessible, which impedes people with disabilities to get on the subway.
That is true. But I know at majority of the main major points, they have it.
Well, you mean like Times Square?
Like, yeah, Times Square, even back in Jamaica Center, they had it. Like,
so, but so many don't.
That is true. And they're working on it. I believe so.
Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, definitely.
I read in the news that they're trying to make more accessible.
I read that would be...
It can be discriminative because, you know, everybody's not the same.
But, you know, I did read that they want to be like 70% wheelchair accessible, the stations, within a few years.
Yeah, it could be years. But, you know, I mean, they're getting there. It's slowly...
Right.
Around where I normally visit a lot, they have a subway over there that they're working on it. Like in Woodside, they have... Well, this is by Northern Boulevard. They have a station that they're building the elevator.
Oh,
it's taking time, but it's finally coming.
But it's good to know at least the bus is... All the buses are wheelchair accessible.
All the buses are accessible.
So that actually changes the game for me because you know I own a tour business.
Right.
And so maybe I'll just start taking the bus more because you can always take the wheelchair on a bus.
That is correct.
So it just made me think I can change things up a little because people want to get around the city. And I say, you know, it's really challenging with the subway stations, but the bus could be the answer. That's really good.
And me also, the bus is usually high and we can nail it down for people that has hard stepping. But me personally, once I twist my ankle getting off the bus because I didn't nail it, now every single time I make sure I nail it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want nobody to go through what I did.
Right.
So every single time I open the door, that bus is going to be nailed for you, even if you didn't need it. So, but I don't want people to feel offended, you know, because some people say, oh, I could get up there, but it's not about that. It's about safety.
Right.
Yeah.
Which it should be.
Yeah.
So let's talk about payment. So payment is for the subway and for the bus are the same.
That is correct.
And it's how much per ride?
It's $2.90.
And then for a week, it's how much?
That part, I do not know.
You know, because it just went up, right? So I think it's like $34 right around there.
The reason I don't know is because I don't own a MetroCard. I get a free MetroCard.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I do the weekly. I just tap my phone.
Yes, yeah, so when I didn't work for MTA, I had the monththy. I know they got rid of that by now.
Yeah.
But that was a thing.
Awesome.
I was paying like $90 and I was going everywhere with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you had it for free though, right?
No, well, the $90
before.
Yeah, before I started, I had to pay. But once you're on a job.
Yeah, you get it for free.
Yeah.
Well, it's $34 a week now.
It's not bad.
Which is very inexpensive.
Yeah, if you use it often, you get your money.
You can use the Omni card.
You could, but the difference with the Omni now is you have to do 12 rides within a week.
Right.
And I believe it's from Monday to Sunday.
Okay.
So a card would be better right now, but it should be getting phased out by the end of this year or the next year.
So if you get the Omni card, it's unlimited for $34, correct? It's a physical card.
That part I do not know. I believe it's all the same.
But then if you use your Omni on your phone, then it's Monday through Sunday.
So after the 12th time you pay, everything else is free.
Yeah, so Monday through Sunday then. But if you come here on a Saturday for vacation and you want to do unlimited, it only goes for 2 days if you tap your phone.
Right, it would reset.
You know, it'll reset on, so it.
Yeah,
so you have to get those 12 rides in on in 2 days, which I could do easily. So statistics here, Q, did you know that from what I studied and looked up, do you know what year the MTA bus ridership started?
I do not, because I believe I was not born.
Way before we were both born.
Oh,
1953. And there are 236 local bus routes and 20 select bus services. Do you know the busiest route in New York City, the busiest bus route?
Is it 42nd Street?
I don't know.
Oh.
Because I just know the letter and the number, the M15. Do you know what the M15 is?
That is crazy.
What is the M15?
The M15 is a bus that starts up on 126th Street, I believe, and it goes to the South Ferry.
Oh, all the way down.
I actually driven it.
Oh, really?
Because I started in Manhattan. I drove the select bus. There's a select bus, and then there's a local bus.
Oh, well, I don't even know which bus it is. I've probably been on it. I don't even know. But then the second one is the Q58. The second most busy, which is Queens, right?
Yes, that is Queens. I can't remember. I've seen it before, but I can't exactly pinpoint where it is.
And 10 million New Yorkers, or people in general, annually ride the bus.
I believe so.
Million.
There's a lot of time my bus be packed.
So subway stations, there's 472 subway stations in New York City and 75 express routes. And then the subway, Q, carries 1.7 billion people annually. Ooh. Annually. Isn't that insane? The busiest stations are what?
I believe Times Square.
There you go. I know. And then secondly would be...
Is it Grand Central Station?
Yo, you nailed it. Ooh. Yeah.
What about Penn Station?
Oh, that's the third.
Ooh.
Look at you. Three. Look at you. What's the busiest train?
I have to go with the 7.
Close. 6. 6 train. Yep.
My bad.
The 6 train.
I got 2.
140 million people annually are on the 6 train. Wow. That's insane.
That is.
And the longest line, last question, the longest line.
Would it be the R or the F?
Close. It's the A line. My line. What? I'm on the A line. And it's 31 miles from Upper Manhattan all the way down. I don't even know where it ends.
That's why it ends in Far Rock.
Yeah. 56% of the population of New York City use public transportation, and 60% of New Yorkers are traveling on public transportation to and from work.
But yet we still have a lot of cars that's causing congestion. What they're trying to change.
that's a whole other show. You're right.
It is.
Right. Okay, so the subway then. So I've always wanted to talk about the subway and J2. So let's talk about some subway tips. How to ride the subway, you know, quickly. Just learn some tips.
Safely,
yes. So you are on the bus constantly. Do you take the bus to the subway when you are not working?
Yes. I take the bus to the subway when I'm not working.
And which do you take more? Or it just doesn't matter?
If any opportunity, I'll take the subway because it's more faster because it's underground.
Yeah.
If there's traffic up top, you gotta deal with the traffic. But
right.
down below is usually good. But sometimes, you know, it's train traffic.
And
it's
true.
It's like, what's train track?
Yeah. And so what are your tips for, do you have any tips to what to do and what not to do in the subway?
What to do? I would say just be mindful about your surroundings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to instigate with anybody. Just be to yourself, but be aware.
Right. Well, people say, why don't you talk on the subway? We don't. People think we should be like, oh, where are you going today? Like, oh, where are you going today? I'm doing this. Like, no one cares. Like, we're going to work. We're going home. We got things to do. And it makes me laugh.
Peace and quiet sometime when you're on the subway.
I love seeing that comment. Look, everybody just sitting there. Everybody's on their phones. What are we
supposed to do? Well, interact with each other?
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today? Nice to meet you. What's going on? Tell me. Yeah.
I think, though, it is cool when you are just on the subway. And I've had a few times where, like, at one time I was coming back from a show and I bought the stage play version of the show. And this woman on the train was like, oh, did you just see the show? And I was like, yeah. I was like, this is my, I think at the time it was like my second or third time seeing the show. And she was like, yeah, I've seen it 8 times. Like, I love the show so much. And we had like a conversation about the show.
That interaction right there, I like that. That's the positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I can deal with that.
Yeah. Those are normal conversations too. Yeah. Like, you see a commonality that brings up that conversation.
Yeah.
But people online that, you know, write comments, they think we should just jump in to a random stranger.
See,
where are you from? What you doing? You know?
Yeah. They get a different objective of it because they're not there. Sometimes you have to be there in a situation to actually really understand.
Right. Exactly.
Just like when they say jump in, you have to be there. Sometimes your instincts and everything kicks in and it's different.
Yeah. I mean,
if you say something. See, those are the internet thugs too. You know, they say it from behind the computer. They say it from behind the computer. It's easy there. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, I see a scenario. But ultimately, how do you feel safe on the subway and the bus?
I mean, I feel safe, but then when I see the videos and everything, I feel unsafe.
Yeah.
But I guess for the most part, since I haven't seen or been in a situation like that, I feel safe.
Yeah.
But See, like I said, seeing it from online is different than actually being there.
Correct.
So I still feel safe. But if I was in the situation,
right,
I can say that I don't feel safe.
I feel safe because I ride the subway multiple times a day, day and night. And I've just, you know, never had any issues. And like I said, I've seen maybe some odd stuff, but nothing that, you know, I felt threatening to me or... Day I'm in on the subway 10, 11, midnight, 1 a.m. too. I've seen some weird things too there.
I know since you're going to subway at that time, do you see empty cars and you run straight for it?
Are you talking about running into an empty car when you're not supposed to? Is that what you mean? Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. Like, never run to an empty car because
you might smell something you don't want to smell.
Yeah, you might smell something you might not want to smell or see something.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
that
know.
That is true.
You see an empty car, you do not go to that car. And tourists, I love seeing tourists learn for the first time.
Yeah.
And like, especially like 5 or 6 p.m. at rush hour. And then you see it's rush hour, the cars are packed, and you see the empty car, and then you see the tourists. Oh, you see them. I watched actually just a couple weeks ago a family like, oh, look, it's an empty car. And I saw them step in and whoa, and then step right back out. I was like, that's how you learn.
I'd be in the other car and I just look at them. They look so happy getting in there.
Yeah, they're
all
so
happy.
Door
closed, they're like,
we hit the jackpot. Nobody's on this car. And we're like, oh.
It's like a movie, a scary movie. They're suffocating
all of us just
trying to get out.
And be like, aw. You're going to learn in about 3, 2, 1. There you go.
No. And sometimes they try to walk through the doors, but you're not supposed to do that. Cause
oh, no,
they,
I would
they,
never
they
do that.
They give you a ticket.
Jay, do you feel it safe? The subway?
Do I feel the subway safe?
Yeah.
Yes. I feel the same way that you do, Q. I feel like it's safe whenever I ride it. And I know that insane stuff does happen on the subway, but I've never seen it, so I don't have any perspective on that. But also, it's something that I have to do every day, and so it's kind of like, it better be safe.
You know? you got no choice.
Yeah.
That is true. Point. That's a good point.
That's right a good there. Point. But I feel like all three of us have been on the subway probably collectively a few hundred thousand, well, 100,000.
You know,
you grew up, Jay, in New York. So did you, Q.
Yeah, I got some miles on my belt.
You both have some miles compared to me. You know, I've been here 11 years, but
you're a New Yorker now.
Yeah, I am a New Yorker. I feel that too. So, also, some tips too is to learn uptown and downtown.
That is correct.
Yeah, that is the key of mastering the subway, so to speak.
Because even at this time, I took the train the wrong direction.
Yeah,
I wasn't paying attention, and I'm like, "Why am I in Brooklyn right now?"
When
I
was in Manhattan, 100 times,
and I'm like, "Oh, I get off." So that is a very key thing. You got to look and be aware.
You know what? To this day, I still do it because I take for granted the subway stations. Because maybe I'll enter from a different exit or an entrance. I mean,
right?
And so my brain is thinking it's going uptown because I'm in there. Just a random, usually you go to the same, you know, subway stations, but sometimes you're in a different area. So I'll go to a different exit or entrance again. And I hop on the train thinking it's going one direction and it's going, and I've ended up in Brooklyn just recently again. And I'm like, I've been here 11 years and I still do it.
Hey, I've been here 33.
You know, and I don't get mad. I kind of just like, kind of call myself a.
But there is one thing I have not perfected. You know, the exit when it says northeast. Southeast, southwest.
Right.
I still don't know it.
Oh, really? I'm actually pretty.
I'm pretty.
Good at
I'm decent with. I'm kind of decent.
I got it, man.
It took me some time. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh no, I actually just realized there was one from where I live now, and I've only used it once, but I think it's labeled backwards. Where like, the north exit is labeled the south exit, and the south exit is able to label the north exit. And because I went up, I was like, oh, I mean, we need to go north. And I went up the north one and I was facing the wrong direction. I was like, wait a second. I don't think that's right.
But I'll give it to you guys because learning those directions is actually a good thing. Like when I'm walking, they say you got to go north. And I'm like, I really don't know where it's at. But sometimes the way I do it is, you know, Harlem is north.
Harlem is north, yep.
Exactly. See, and I go like that. And then, you know, when the sun set and the sun rise, east and west.
Yep. Well, as a photographer, you know,
yeah,
you
so
have to know that.
That works with the Manhattan is. It kind of taught me.
Yeah. Well,
that's awesome. I can teach you right now.
Oh,
you go ahead. Yeah.
So the easiest way or the best way to be able to tell your directions, and I've taught my mom, I've taught my best friend, you have to find a landmark. And I use the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so I know that the Hudson, if you can know where the Hudson River is in relation to where you are, you can know like, the Hudson River is going to be west of us for the most part, if because we're on Manhattan and we're west of the Hudson River. So if you can know where it is, then you can tell that that's west, the opposite direction is east, and then north and south are, you know.
Hmm.
So if you can pick one direction and one thing that you know, and that goes for anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I know we have listeners literally in all over the world. So if you can pick a landmark, you know where it is in relation to you.
Yep.
You can tell the
Empire State Building, like a tall.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you know.
Hmm. So, like you said, you said Long Island City. When I go to Long Island, I know that's east. So that's probably the only thing.
That's
I
a good point. It is. Yep.
Yeah.
From Manhattan.
Well, if when you're in Queens too, because it's eastbound.
We're like,
yeah.
So wait. Let me think.
Like, if you get on the highway and you go,
drive on the highway.
I don't really either. Yeah. But sometimes on the bus when you're going not in service or something like that, you can see it tells you the direction. Like Manhattan will be north,
right?
And I know that, like I said, Long Island is east,
right?
That's about it.
But Queens is east then too.
Yeah, well, Queens is east from Manhattan, isn't it?
Yeah.
But is it different parts? No, not really, because Brooklyn would be, I guess, south.
Yeah, Brooklyn is south. Staten Island is south.
East.
Statue of Liberty.
Ooh, yeah.
One thing I like to talk about too, I think is a key if you feel uncomfortable on a train, which I've only done twice in the whole, 11 years I lived here. This is a tip that I have. If you feel uncomfortable on the train, there's someone acting kind of odd to you, just get off the train at the very next stop. The train is the subway, actually, too. We call them the same thing. But you get up at the very next stop, and then you just wait for the next train that pulls up. Problem solved. That's what I always recommend to people who are on the train and they don't feel comfortable.
Another tip is you can sit in the conductor where they close and open a door. You can sit next to them, or you can sit next to the train operator.
Oh, that's a good point.
So if anything was to happen, you have somebody to help you.
But you have to find out where the conductor is before, or the subway.
That is easy to do because in the middle of the platform, there's like a white blackboard. I didn't really know that, but they have to
point
their finger.
It.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
Because you got to make sure the train is in the station so you can safely get out.
So there's a platform because the subway conductor has to point at every single station it stops at. They have to point to that board.
Right.
And I've seen them do that.
To make sure they're within it.
And it's like a yellow line or something on the ground or something. I don't know.
Well, it's a yellow line, but I mean, when you got to look up.
Yeah.
And you'll see a black and white board.
Yep. And that's where you can go get on the train. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we had a really good conversation about the subway and the bus. This was awesome, Q.
It was.
Do you have any questions you want to ask us or anything that you can think of?
I mean, well.
Or bring up any points.
It's not related, but I mean, I just want to know how does it feel being a producer in New York City?
How does it feel? I've honestly not thought about it until this very second. So I guess I'll say that it's really cool. And I think the coolest part about this show, and I guess what I do on a larger scale, is just that I'm excited to contribute to the New York mythos, and having this show and bringing all these different people in to talk about New York City has been just really cool and such a project that really speaks to my like childhood self, growing up in the city and seeing everything and loving it. Being a New Yorker is a core part of my personality. If you ask any of my friends, I don't make it my personality, but I'm a very proud New Yorker, and being able to have the New Yorkers podcast and talk to bus drivers and people who have their job as New York City and photographer, just everything. It's been really cool, and I'm really excited to grow this show because I think that it is a very wide appeal, and New Yorkers and people from all over the world.
I was going to add to that because, like, as a bus driver, I actually like it too because, I get to bring people, I have to take them to work, take them wherever they got to go. I move the city around, So I feel good about that. I'm contributing to people's life and I feel like I'm doing a good thing. A lot of them, they say thank you. And, I respond. I say you're welcome and all that. And, when they come on the bus, they say good morning. I say it back, just to feel their morning or to feel their day. It could go a long way.
So what do you feel makes you a New Yorker?
That is funny. I never really thought of it. But I guess.
You can think about it for a second.
I don't even know what is a New Yorker. I guess just being from New York and growing up here. And, when you go to somewhere else. They're like, oh, I can hear you got an accent, but I don't be knowing that I have an accent. I didn't know New York had an accent. I thought it was like country stuff. But on that, on your behalf now, you said you're a professional photographer. You're a real estate. You're a tour guide. Yeah. Like, how do you do all that? It's amazing to have all that type of skill, but, you know, how do you just juggle all of it all together?
Well, I guess I just like to be busy. You know, it keeps me occupied, you know, and then we have our social medias too, you know.
That too.
But it's just, I don't know, it just keeps, I just love to create and share New York City with people from around the world, because there's so many people who will never come here, sadly, you know, and I wish everybody could, but
everybody,
you know,
dreams
people, a lot of people dream of coming here. I always say New Yorkers are born all over the world every day, even if you haven't been born here in New York City. You know, people feel an attachment to New York City via, you know, movies, social media. People feel their heart is in New York City. And it brings me joy to be able to bring content to people around the world, to have them take, you know, a short little trip to New York City in their mind, and that they're actually here and they can be part of it. And I think that's really cool to share with people. And I think, you know, doing my photos and doing tours with people and just helps connect people with New York City. So these are just all ways. Everything that I'm doing is connecting people around the world to New York City. And that's what's important to me.
Yeah, because I see people love your tours. I see the pictures. I see the response. And I'm just so happy for you, man.
Yeah, you're awesome. I'm happy for you too, buddy.
And when people ask about like, who's that guy, sometimes I'm like, he's a good guy. Like, the tours and everything he does, the photos, I admire you, you know?
Well, same here. I've always thought you're awesome, you know? I've told you that too. I think you're amazing. And that's why you're on the show. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for asking us those questions. Those are really good. Okay, awesome, Q. You're the best, man. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today, Q, for this week's episode of the New Yorkers Podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
Well, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at CreativeKid90. If you have a problem, you could just go to Kelly's page and find me from him.
And vice versa.
True.
Once again, I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, across all social media. That would be my Instagram, my Threads, my X, and my Facebook.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers Podcast, and you can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers Podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you're enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Lee Garrett, Naomi Cordova, and Malika Aisha Albardi for your kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And thank you, Trisha Zemp, Christina Michelle, and Anja Kunis for your comments on Facebook.
Have a lovely day, and we will see you next Sunday.
Goodbye.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.